6.5% was it? Is that what the current odds are of the Stanley Cup?
Well, and if you look at the round by round progression, the Stanley Cup favorite is the Vancouver Canucks.
Like, what a time to be alive!
Talking you through every goalie controversy, scoring slump, and draft lottery bust, this is the C4 Podcast on CanucksHockeyBlog.com. Here they are, the best starting lineup we could afford under the salary cap. Chris, Matt, Anna, and Adam.
Welcome to another episode of the C4 Canucks Hockey Podcast, brought to you by Anna and Chris. I'm Chris, she's Anna, and I have to ask, why so mad?
Why am I mad?
Well, it's a callback to the game this weekend. Did you not hear the hot mic?
Yeah. Well, like,
why so mad?
Like, surely, I mean, you have siblings. You remember that from when you were younger, right?
Why so mad?
It brought me back to, you can't get mad. I'm not hitting you. You can't get mad.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I did see your comment on Twitter. Well, I don't tweet. I do go and take a look at what's going on there every so often. And you essentially said you were going to call your mom. Yeah. Hi, Anna's mom.
Who is very shortly on her way to Vancouver. So she's
sweet.
Not quite in the air, but by the time this goes out, she will be in the air on the way to Vancouver. Hi, mom.
Will she have the opportunity to listen to the episode while in flight, or will I have not published it in time?
A good question. Like,
are you telling me I should push this episode out before I go to bed tonight?
Maybe I'll just make her listen when she gets here.
Oh, just play it over the speaker.
I mean, to be fair, she'll probably have a few nights where she's waking up at odd hours, so yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what else does one do except for listen to C4? Mm-hmm. And if memory serves me correct, as proclaimed by Chris Faber, my voice has a tendency to put people to sleep.
So. Yeah, I was going to say, maybe we shouldn't be advertising our podcast as a cure for jet lag, but.
Mm. Well, hey, if we're good for something, it's better than not being good for anything.
Sure.
So how about them Vancouver Canucks? We recorded an episode just over a week ago, because again, you know, you apparently thought the Oscars were something cool, and then I had to get my daughter registered for swimming. Were the Oscars cool?
They were pretty cool. They kind of fell out how I thought they were going to fall out. Like, Oppenheimer won a bunch, even though I don't think it necessarily deserved it. Cillian Murphy did deserve his Oscar. He was great. But yeah, the Oscars were fun. There were some really cool films getting some recognition as well. So,
yeah. I did get my daughter in the swimming lessons, not the lessons that I had wanted. It was just nuts. Like the system,
show.
Even with the virtual queue, was like just barely holding on under the strain. And it would say there's 4 spots available. And I'd click the link and it would load. And I'd select who I'd want to register, which is my daughter. And then it would say there's no spots. When in fact, the way the system had worked historically was that you would select it and then it would hold. It's like holding for 5
now,
minutes.
Yeah.
Right? Like, kind of like, you know.
So basically, what you're saying is you know how the people trying to get Taylor Swift tickets feel.
Well, I never even got the opportunity. My sister forced me to submit my email address, and I just got the email to say, thanks, you didn't qualify.
Yeah, same. I did that for my friends.
Yeah. Baby Force did get registered in swim lessons in May, Saturday and Sunday morning for essentially the entire month. So
she's not going to drown. That's great.
Hopefully not. That would be not good.
Great news.
Drowning is bad.
Drowning is bad.
The Vancouver Canucks, though, when we recorded our episode, it was before the game, and I had said, I don't know. I'm kind of worried. And apparently, I was worried about the entirely wrong thing.
Yeah. We shouldn't have been worried about the Jets at all. They're a complete, like, pushover.
Yeah, because the week that was an interesting week. The Vancouver Canucks had leads in every single game that they played this week.
Yeah, so they had their foot in the door. I think I called a dub.
They just kept slamming it on their feet.
Yeah, exactly. I think I did call a dub for Winnipeg, but I was very unsure about it. So,
yeah, I said no. I was like, no, I don't think it's going to happen. But I can't imagine the Vancouver Canucks were going to do what they did against the Colorado Avalanche and then follow that up with what they did against the Washington Capitals. So we'll get into that this week. And then we have to start sort of considering, like, what's next? Like, the Vancouver Canucks are about a month away from playoff action. And we're at the point of the year when these games should sort of matter as you get yourself ready. So we're going to talk a little bit about that in half full, half empty. And as with every episode, we'll probably go off the rails, talk about this, that, mm-hmm. and everything. Because, hey, it's what we're known to do. But before we get off the rails, we probably should stick on the rails and rewind. Winnipeg Jets come to town. And this is a team that's, you know, playing well. Arguably one of two threats to take over the Western lead from the Vancouver Canucks. And I had expressed some concern. I'm like, this is not the type of team you'd want to play at home having come back from a road trip. I wasn't trying to be pessimist, but I had some concern. And 2 minutes into the game, JT Miller told me that my concern was not valid. And that first period alone was enough to suggest that the Vancouver Canucks had decided that winning is the thing that they like doing the most. And therefore, they were just going to continue to do it. You messaging me in the game, you know, calling me out, like, what do I know? And I have to, again, reinforce that I had agreed. I'm like, you know more than me. You're probably right. It's just a gut feeling. Little did I know it might have been like indigestion.
Yeah, you have to ignore that. Yeah. I did call you negative, but like it's usually both of us being negative, to be fair. But yeah, like we both said, like, it's gonna be a hard game, it's gonna be a tight game. Battle of the goalies, and it's like, oh no, like goalies are gonna get run. So yeah, like hella buck, hella what, like could not stop anything.
No, he could not. But arguably there was concern in the net for both teams. You had Winnipeg, who had Hellebuck not being able to stop a beach ball. And you had Thatcher Demko withdrawing his services, like
yep,
midway, two-thirds through the game. And at the time, you know, the belief was like, oh, what's up with that? Maybe the Canucks have a 5-0 lead. Oh, maybe he's pulling a Luongo. Because, hey, you know what? Got a lot of gear on. Sometimes you got to go take care of business and
yeah,
give yourself ample opportunity and time to do so. Did we know, he was sporting an injury in the morning.
Yeah.
That got worse during the game and got real bad real quick.
Yeah. I've got to say, first off the rails moment right here. It's so funny, like, that, like, just Canucks Twitter, like, has that dialed in, that whenever a goalie is missing, it's like, you get half of the people running around like headless chickens, the other half going, oh, he's just pulling a Luongo. Because, and I have heard a story about an Australian cricketer, for anyone who knows who Matt Renshaw is, that's him, who had a, like, similar ill feeling to Luongo, but he was batting in the middle at Lord's, I think, which is, like, the home of cricket, the most historic ground. And, like, you're not really supposed to leave once you start batting, which could be days. You could be, like, there for, like, hours and hours before you get a break. So I think he told the umpire, like, I don't feel good. Like, I think I need to, like, get to a bathroom. And the umpire was like, okay, well, we have drinks in 10 minutes. Like, let's wait till then, and then you can go, and that's fine.
Did he make it 10 minutes?
No, he literally, like, made a run and then kept running because he was like, no, I'm not going to make it. Sprinted off the pitch. Not as bad as goalies, but he did have, like, the pads, the helmet. Like, you have quite a lot of pads to come off.
Did he exit view before?
Yes. So, like, I think he made it to the changing rooms. I don't think he made it to the washroom, unfortunately.
Well, I mean, but that's up for debate because, you know, I'm going to presume that he made it somewhere. Luongo, he just didn't come back. And, you know, and I think the reason why, you know, when you bring up like half the Canucks fans are like losing their mind, the other half are like, oh, he's pulling a Luongham. You know, the Vancouver Canucks had not seen the playoffs in some time. Luongo, you know, who single-handedly willed the team into the playoffs, doesn't come out to start overtime. Danny Sabourin goes in net. People lost their mind. Like, what the heck is going on? And he wasn't on the bench. So it's like, oh my goodness, Danny Sabourin, I don't think he's got it in him to, you know, carry this team like, you know, Louis does. And when Luongo came back on, people were like, oh, okay, I wonder what was wrong. And then obviously Lou shared, but that will be forever Canucks meta. Just like, you know, Markstrom and, or wasn't Markstrom, it was Eddie Lack, wasn't it?
Oh,
who was it that had the
Eddie Lack, who had the Eddie stains. Lack
had the millionaires.
Unfortunate. Unfortunate day all round for Eddie. Anyway.
Thatcher's off the ice. And, you know, as the game was progressing, that's when word started to come out that he apparently had felt some, I think it was tightness in his knee during like the morning skate or something along those lines, and is now out for, like, it's week to week, I think, if I recall.
Yes, they said 2 to 3 weeks, and then it was definitely 3 weeks, and you're just like, okay, well, like, what was it? I guess by the Saturday, it was 5 weeks left of the season, just shy. And it's like, why does he need to come back? Like, he absolutely doesn't.
Well, if you recall, as a listener, Anna was suggesting that it was time for Thatcher Demko to get suppressed.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm sorry. I shouldn't mess with the hockey gods because they're like, be careful what you wish for. I'm sorry.
Well, you got it.
Yeah.
So Thatcher and Casey, they shared that shutout against the Winnipeg Jets, 5-0. Vancouver's at home for like ever, and in not only being at home forever, has themselves a whole lot of time in between games. So that meant having yet that 5 donut win on the Saturday, they had to wait until the Wednesday to take on the Colorado Avalanche when the Avs found their way into town. Vancouver got off to a hotter start than they had on Saturday. They scored a goal probably well before at least a third, maybe half of the fans actually got to their seat, because Vancouver crowds are really well known to show up midway through the first.
Yeah, and it's a 7:30 start, so like realistically, all the fans should have been in their seats, and I should have been in my seat on my couch. But it's just like you have too much time almost. So you just think, oh, like, I can get another drink. We have time. You don't have time. Just go sit in your seat.
You don't have time.
Yeah.
Yeah. JT Miller scoring 24 seconds into the game. And not to be outdone, Ilya Mikheyev scored his first goal in about 7 years. Only a couple of minutes later to put the Vancouver Canucks up to a 2-goal lead. And that entire first period, Vancouver it felt to me that they were in control. Shots were even, but Vancouver was front foot hockey. Defense was playing sound. Like, it didn't look like it was going to get out of hand. You knew, however, that going into the intermission, Colorado would obviously look to regroup. A 2-goal lead is hockey's most dangerous. So thank goodness Nikita Zadorov scores a third goal early in the second period to, you know, slam that door shut, right?
One would think.
Yeah. The goal that Mikko Rantanen scored late in the second period really felt like Vancouver was doing everything they could to get into the intermission and were coasting. I wouldn't say they took their foot off the gas necessarily, but maybe their foot was just hovering. Like,
yeah. And it's just like, it's Colorado. Like, to me, I'm just like, what are you doing? You can't lose your concentration, like, for a second. But it did feel like they were coasting fully, because it felt like Colorado definitely also didn't get the memo about the game starting at 7:30. They were definitely on the back foot. Canucks were skating super well. Colorado were chasing them. But it's just like, that, like, you can't let your focus slip at all, and they clearly did.
And it was wide open hockey in the second period. Like, the Vancouver Canucks outshot the Avs, despite the Avs playing, you know, a little fast and loose. But that goal at the end of the second period gave the Avs some life. And I'd have to think that Tocchet laid into the team like, hey, you can't take your foot off the gas. Good teams don't do that. You got to play, you know, smart hockey, be responsible, play a disciplined style of game. Now, you can hate on NHL referees, and we'll talk more about that as we get into the game this weekend. But the penalty call against PD to kick off the first period or first third period is a penalty. It sucks, however, that Ian Cole then gets one only a minute and a half-ish later, because that two-man advantage was one that the Avalanche, yeah, who are pretty solid team, especially one on special teams.
Yeah, Nate McKinnon's good. Did you hear that?
I have heard rumors.
Yeah.
I have heard rumors.
Like, the Ian Cole hooking penalty, it was nonsense. Like, it completely ghost hooking, like, ridiculous. But at the same time,
ghost hooking is the worst kind of hooking.
Exactly. Like, I didn't know Rogers Arena was haunted, but apparently. Yeah, but it's like, you're going to get BS calls. Like, yes, the reffing will be looser in the playoffs, but you may not get as many calls against you. But it's just like the penalty kill, it's no good. Like, yeah, you've got to be able to trust your penalty kill, which with the Canucks, you cannot right now.
No, and that 3-2 goal took the wind, if there was any left, in the Vancouver Canucks sails and completely removed it. The Canucks looked dead in the water.
Yeah.
The entire third period was horrible for the Vancouver Canucks. They got three shots on net the entire period. You at that point, having seen that 3-2 goal, kind of came to the realization that Colorado was going to score more, and the hope was that they didn't have two in them. Mm. If you turned it off at the end of the third period, you'd be like, well, hey, Chris, they only had one. But apparently, again, this team is a good team who, unfortunate for Susie that hit the puck goes over the glass late, yeah, in the third, but
it in felt overtime, inevitable.
You know, that 4-on-3 power play is,
yeah,
really no different than 5-on-3. Colorado capitalizes. And that's all she wrote. The Vancouver Canucks get a loser point, but give up a 3-buzz lead,
yeah,
to lose 4-3 at home.
And so we've just talked about, like, how, like, you can't blame the refs. And I do agree with that. But the reffing was also bad, and I don't think it's wrong to call it out either.
Oh, no, no. But it was, like, you can't say, oh, it was all the officials' fault.
Yeah. Like, okay. I did, I'm going to, like, call out someone who actually, like, by the way, very good follow on Twitter. Smart guy, funny guy. But Jason Bruff, just, like, his tweet when he was, like, how embarrassing that you're all blaming the refs. And I'm like, this is not how you win a cup. It's like, okay, we're not on the team. Like, Canucks Twitter, I just feel like, don't give Canucks Twitter too much credit, you know? Like, we are reacting to the game in front of us where, like, there's a bad call. Call it out. It's bad. And I know that, like, Jason Bruff will get his, like, so many bad takes in directly in his show inbox. So, like, I'm sure he sees the worst of it. But it's just like, I don't think it's embarrassing for fans to call out or even blame the refs. Just like, it's on the team to respond. Let's not start blaming the fans again.
No, I mean, like, I'm not trying to blame fans, no, here at all.
No, I know,
like,
you're not.
I feel like the refereeing did not help. Mm. But when you're held to three shots over the course of a third period, you either play smart defensive hockey.
Yeah.
Or you play horrible hockey. And unfortunately, the Vancouver Canucks were playing horrible hockey. They weren't playing smart defensive hockey. Like if anything, one might argue, well, Chris, they were trying to hang on. You can't hang on when you've got adversity. Let's not overcome adversity. Anyhow,
yeah,
and Canucks lose.
Yeah. Like, there's going to be way more adversity to come, right?
Yeah. Three games against the Avs this season. The Vancouver Canucks have lost all three. They've scored the first goal on all three.
Yep.
So. The Avs have some form of kryptonite. It's kind of like old school Avs where they roll into town. You're like, oh, man, good Canucks team's going to lose. Not because they're going to Canuck it up. It's that Colorado's, you know, got some spell that they can cast.
Yeah, but like Colorado are a great team. Like losing to them a few times a season isn't like embarrassing on paper, but it's the way they're doing it. That is embarrassing.
Yeah. So, at this point, Vancouver Canucks got the two against the Jets. They got one against the Avs. That leaves one more game to play before we have to record. And thank goodness the Capitals are coming to town because the Capitals, they haven't had as great of a season as maybe they would have liked to. And, you know, despite, you know, the Vancouver Canucks maybe still feeling a little nervous having given up that lead against the Avs, they get themselves that early goal that, you know, sets them apart. And that early goal, 1-11. Like, there has to be a stat that says Vancouver has the most goals in the first 2 minutes or 3 minutes of NHL games
curious,
this season.
Yeah.
Brock Besser gets himself that goal. And the Canucks start to play some hold-on hockey. Not the most exciting high-event hockey, not the most exciting type of hockey, but hold on hockey.
Yeah. Unfortunately, when you start playing that in the first period, like, let's...
Oh, wait. You're not supposed to do it at that point?
Yeah. Okay. And like you said, Washington haven't had the season they planned on. And I think it was before the game even started. I forget who even said it. Was it in the commentary or the analysts? Anyway, they were just like, they're desperate. Like, but yeah, like, Washington aren't making the playoffs, like, unless they get their act together. So, yeah, you can't play a team desperate for points that plays disciplined hockey and just hold on.
Yeah. Capitals came out in the second period as a team that saw that, oh, this one's holding on. Let's show them what happens when you do that. 14 shots in the second period. They got two goals. The problem is they got two goals within 2 minutes of each other with Wilson and Ovechkin's markers. The Wilson goal, arguably a very pretty goal.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately for the Vancouver Canucks, they did win that defensive zone faceoff, but proceeded to lose the puck early and then failed to pay attention to where players were on the ice. The Ovechkin goal, however, apparently Ovechkin still has it.
Yeah, I mean, like, Ovechkin's either desperate to make the playoffs or desperate to break a record, so. Yeah. Like, he's, yeah. It was just, like, frustrating because it's just, like, so, like, preventable. Like, yeah, the giveaways were just like idiotic in that game, I thought.
I had made a comment, and this is, you know, in the third period, Canucks have an empty net, and JT Miller, who has been having just a rough night with the puck, proceeds to cough it up at the blue line. Like, I don't exactly know what he was looking to do, and that might have been part of the problem. Maybe he wasn't sure. He tried to do three things at once, only for that puck to be coughed up. And then I think it was Hronek.
Yeah, it was.
It was on the ice that got back to prevent what looked to be, oh, that's an empty net goal. It's going to be scored. But the 20 seconds or so that got consumed really eliminated any opportunity the Vancouver Canucks had to try to get that, you know, second goal to tie it out, to take it to overtime. But if one thing I can maybe say that I couldn't say against the Avs is that the Vancouver Canucks did try in a third period, whereas Washington was like, hey, we're going to hold on. And unfortunately for Vancouver, they simply could not get puck luck, really. I mean, all things considered, Lindgren did everything he could to get in front of every potential shot. And I want to say that Washington also blocked quite a few in the third period alone. But the game should not have got to that point.
Yes, that's the thing. It's just like Lindgren had a good performance, like a great performance, actually. Like Canucks and getting all-star performances out of goalies, right? But yeah, they shouldn't have been in that position. It just felt so lackluster. The defensive issues are concern, and especially as like Canucks have done that a few times this season of the giveaway two quick goals in succession. Mm-hmm. That's a concern for sure. But it's just like they had time. They had plenty of time. They had half a game to get back in it, and they didn't.
Now, there were also complaints about the officiating in this game, mm-hmm. not because of calls, but because of the calls that weren't made.
Well, yeah, that icing call.
Which, apparently, the linesman came to the Canucks bench in the third period to say, my bad.
Which, and I'm like, did he do that because he saw a replay? Or did he realize after...
I think that's what...
made the call.
I think that's what happened.
Okay, because I'm just like,
bet you,
if you realize after you make the call, change the call.
Well, so I don't know if it was Bieksa or Friedman that had said it during the intermission, is that the rule is that whomever reaches the dot first gets the whistle. And like when you watch the replay, Capitals there first. But there's no way he's getting to the puck.
That's the thing. I know they're just... During the discussion, they actually said that's not the rule. Some people misinterpret it as that, but the actual rule is that's when you make the decision about who's going to get to the puck first.
Yeah, I mean, DiGiuseppe's getting to that puck.
Of course he is. And I was just
in
like...
In fact, the whistle's blown and he's like...
But of course, Ron McLean...
Oh, I'm not talking about Ron McLean.
I know. First of all, doesn't know what he's talking about 90% of the time, but, like, of course he defended the refs. But to me, I was just like, I actually don't think that that blown call excuses that goal they're giving up in any way. But why make such a big deal?
But that goal happens because of the icing.
Why highlight it if you're just going to get the take wrong anyway? But,
you know, I genuinely think the linesman had watched a replay during the intermission.
Yeah.
Sees it. And hey, you know what? They make mistakes. Like, it's going to happen. The problem was that particular mistake led to the goal. Now, before someone goes, yeah, see, that's why. Well, okay. Sure, it led to the goal. But what did the Vancouver Canucks do in the subsequent faceoff? They won it. They won it clean. They had an opportunity to deal with the puck. They did not. They made mistakes, and they let Wilson essentially hang out at the side of the net, you know, with as much real estate in Vancouver as he wanted.
Yeah.
And considering how expensive the real estate happens 100%. To be in Vancouver, you don't give it away for free. So, you know, sure, icing goes to that, but that's, you know, they don't get the goal because of linesman. Blew the whistle. Anyhow, whatever.
Yeah.
It just sucks. I mean, I remember when I saw it, I'm like, oh, I don't think that was icing. But hey, I've seen close whistles before. And then when they were sort of like standing around, like PDG is like confused. I actually kind of wondered if PDG thought maybe there was a penalty or something like that. The way his reaction was, he wasn't upset. He was like, what? And then I kind of thought, okay, the linesman or they're going to talk and they'll have a face off at center ice. Right? That happens. They didn't. I'm like, oh, weird. But then the goal, and it's like, oh. But still, Canucks are not losing at this point. 2 minutes later, they are. Which, again, that's on them.
Yeah. And then, like, again, we just, like, the, I don't know what Phil DiGiuseppe did to the officiating team last night before the game, but yeah, like that call against was it against Ovechkin? Against Ovechkin. Where everyone thought it was a penalty, like it was an Ovechkin penalty, including DiGiuseppe. He's like skating off, and then it's like, no, you get in the box, please. Get in the box now. As a ref once said to Quinn Hughes. So, yeah. Was that bad? Yeah. Like, he didn't do anything to deserve that penalty. But again, like, what's that, halfway through the game?
Yeah, like, though that did not, like, there was no goal scored.
Yeah, exactly.
There.
And it's like, yes, it, like, a penalty there would have been nice for the Canucks. But, like, you have half a game. And they did.
Sorry. Would the penalty have been good for the Vancouver Canucks? Because currently their power play has no power.
Yeah. And I think people were, like, maybe, like, made some comments about Pedersen going missing in the Washington game, which I don't think is unfair.
He too was fighting the puck. And, you know, as it was pointed out to me on Threads when I sort of called out JT Miller having a tough game, is that he's not the only one.
Yeah.
All of them are.
I agree. There was a couple people having rough games. I do think the problem with JT Miller, I find, and we kind of did see it when in the JT Miller doesn't give an F era, is that he is not so great at adapting to his teammates having poor games. If you know what I mean. Well, like, he won't totally change his style. What? And how does he do that? He just,
as the consummate team player, hey, you're having a tough game.
I'll
have a tough game too.
Yeah, exactly. But like, he could, like, I feel like he's not good at being like, okay, the passes aren't going right, let me make things easier. He's like, no, they'll get to the passes. I'll keep making them and they will get to there.
Oh, so the Vancouver Canucks had a 500 week, which, you know, if you're an optimist, ain't that bad. If you're a pessimist, you're like, the sky is falling. You know, both are possible. But if we look at the standings, the Vancouver Canucks remain top of the West with 92 points. They only have, the Jets have one game in hand on the Canucks, which is not as bad as it once was. They still have the lead. It's those pesky Oilers who have three games on hand in the Vancouver Canucks, but thankfully those three games, if they're all wins, Canucks are still ahead. As though we look at the week that will be, the Vancouver Canucks remain at home. Again, they don't head out on the road until next month. And they have the Buffalo Sabres in town on Tuesday. They've got the Montreal Canadiens in town on Thursday, and the Calgary Flames in town on Saturday. As I am a pessimist, I'm kind of worried about the Canucks against, to be honest, all three of those teams. But if I were to embrace the fact that the Canucks are playing teams who themselves aren't doing hot at all. Like, I think who's got the best record out of those three? Buffalo? Calgary. Calgary's 530. Buffalo's 509. Montreal's 455. Like, these should be three wins this week. And the pessimist in me wants to say no.
But we're going to call, and I'm demanding that you also call this, that it's a Buffalo Sabres win, because Mama Forsythe's going to be there, so.
So wait, you want the Sabres to win on Tuesday?
No, as in versus Buffalo. Sorry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're going to, because my mom is there, they're going to have to win. Canucks are just going to have to do it. Sorry. Like, that's how it works. So they're going to beat Buffalo for sure.
Okay.
I say they beat Montreal. And they lose to Calgary.
I'm going to say they get 2 points out of all three games.
Yes. Love that.
I am a known pessimist on this show.
Yeah.
But I have to look at Calgary is in a world of hurt.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong.
Buffalo is hurting. And in Montreal, if there's one thing that Montreal has as a wild card, is unfortunate circumstances. Head coach Martin St-Louis has stepped away from the team for family reasons. I don't know if any further context came out this weekend beyond during one of the intermission interviews. It was one of the players had said that we're going to witness for his son. So there's okay. some thought, there's something there. And I'm not trying to suggest that you have to have circumstances like that, but it does inspire. And so, you know, it's a team that the Vancouver Canucks should not take lightly. They shouldn't take light any of the competition, but Montreal does have -50 on the season in goal differential. And that's not 15. That's 5-0.
Yeah. That's not so good.
I'm going to give them 6 points and you're going to give the Vancouver Canucks 5.
Yeah, 5. Because I think they'll lose in overtime on Saturday.
Okay. Well, we shall see when we get back together next week and whether or not you or I know what we're talking about. I think we've already come to figure that out. We don't, but we pretend that we do. But what we're not going to pretend to do is take a short break. You're listening to the Z4 Canucks Hockey Podcast brought to you by Anna and Chris.
Take hitting out of the game. You can't hit anymore, so don't do it.
The unsportsmanlike conduct, I want to get an explanation on that.
No kidding.
Because how do you get suspended for unsportsmanlike conduct?
Plus interference. There's no interference there. He had the puck.
Now, Madison never ever did that before. Now, why did he do it? And that? Because he was mad.
Well, your early favorite for the Calder Trophy, that's for sure. Elias Pettersson, you might even say your early favorite for the Hart Trophy.
Just to get back to your question, Elias is going to play plenty. He's going to play. He's going to get a lot of power play time. And, yeah, I'm concerned about our offense. We lost 200-point players, and we've got to find a way to score.
The Vancouver Canucks trade deadline deals took place earlier in the season. Well before the deadline. They were just, you know, ahead of the curve, maybe one could suggest. But is it fair to suggest, Anna, that their lack of movement at the deadline is now starting to hurt them in some way, shape, or form?
So I'm in two minds about this. I do think they obviously made their one big move. Lindholm is not looking as good. You know, after that.
What are you talking about? He had one great game.
Yeah, and it was a hell of a game. And he seemed to fit right in. I'm not giving up on Lindholm in any way, shape, or form. Like, I still think there's room to get there. I don't think he was necessarily given the best support or set up for success in his first 10 games or so. But it does concern me that, like, you know, all the rumors around the trade deadline were top six, like one more top six scoring winger. That's what the Canucks need to get them over the line. And nothing happened. And you do think when Canucks can't score against Washington, that just like doesn't look like a good move. So I will say, yes, I do think it's hurting them, the fact that they don't have a top six winger. And it's like, you can say that Canucks just gave up two leads this week, your goalie's injured, you should be more concerned about your backup goalie or even your defense. And I'm not unconcerned about those things, but I do think the scoring winger was like the edge that they really needed.
Okay.
Are you positive? Like, I'd love this if this is the case. If you're positive and not at all worried, I'm loving that.
Am I worried about the lack of activity at the deadline? No, I don't think I am. But I'm also looking at what could the Canucks have accomplished at the deadline based on what was available and what was available to them to work with. So I'm okay with the team not going, like, I mean, they should go all in. This is the year. Well, okay, if this is the year, are you conceding that next year is not? Or subsequent years? Like, the Vancouver Canucks are in a really weird space. I don't think anyone had foreseen them to be where they are.
Yes. Yes.
Right now.
Like, they were, right? And like you say, they were not necessarily prepared cap-wise either for this to be their right. year.
Whatever schedule is in play is either well ahead of itself or alternatively somewhat out the window. So The Vancouver Canucks, I think, were smart in their approach to the deadline. Don't do anything super stupid. But I do concede that prevents them from getting a clear need, you know, top six forward. There was a suggestion on social media that the Vancouver Canucks' recent woes line up to the loss of a particular player by the name of Dakota Joshua. Now, that could very well be coincidental, but Joshua's injury occurred mid-February, and that's lining up with where the Vancouver Canucks started to sort of, you know, not lose their way, but misplace it around the house somewhere. And I feel if there was, let's say, some, you know, truth to the idea that Dakota Joshua is the glue that kept the Vancouver Canucks together, that that actually then speaks volumes to how sort of close-knit this team has become. And if that is true, and again, I'm spitballing here, do you really want to disrupt that?
I mean, do I think...
Again, I'm not saying Dakota Joshua is the difference between a Stanley Cup or not.
Like yeah.
The kid. Love how he plays the game.
Yeah, and we love that third line and miss it. Of course we do. Like, the little and large. I mean,
Dakota Joshua.
Dakota Joshua and Connor Garland. Like, of course.
Yeah, I mean, he's not the reason why Petey is in a slump. He's not the reason why JT Miller has had a few rough games. He's not the reason Lindholm hasn't been scoring. But one of the things that Dakota Joshua provided you, and as part of that third line, made up for nights where those things were problems.
Yeah.
And, you know, that line has cooled off since his injury.
I mean, what line? Yeah, sure. The third line doesn't exist without
him. Oh, so sorry. Yeah. Just a collection of players that could put on the ice from time to time.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing, though, right? Like, we had to know that, like, times were so good when we had the Lotto line and the third line and just, like, the no-name line or whatever we were calling it. But we had to know it wasn't going to last.
Three players on the ice.
I do think Dakota Joshua, like, we're joking about him being a glue guy, but, like, I buy it. Like, I think that he seems to be, like, an affable guy, and he is the kind of player that just works hard and kind of slots in. Do I think that's ruining the Canucks? No. Like, I don't think it matters that the dressing room, by the way, like, isn't, like, I don't think the dressing room is that close. Like,
well, okay. I'm not, it's not sunshine and rainbows.
Yeah.
I think it's very fair to say that there is,
yeah,
there are cracks that are being held together by Dakota glue.
Dakota glue. Yeah. Yeah. Who knows if it's a, like, cracked wall country club cliques. But, yeah, I think, like, this is oversimplifying it, but looking at that team and the talent on that team, like, there's no way you should be giving up a 3-goal lead to Colorado, no matter how much, like, how it shakes out, like, who's playing on what line, who's missing, and who's in goal, frankly. Like, is Casey DeSmith going to stand on his head the same way Dan Codell's? Of course not. But, like, no. There weren't any, like, times this week necessarily where I was like, oh, yeah, like, he has lost us that game. I never thought that.
Well, if anything, it's just that there was the potential that Demko might have stolen one of those two games that we saw. That's not what DeSmith's about.
No.
Right. He gives you a good effort. He doesn't commit grand larceny.
No.
Word on the street is that Casey DeSmith also doesn't jaywalk. He also, rumor has it, always ensures that the grocery cart's returned.
Yeah. I don't know. Like,
there's,
I don't want to
transgressions.
Dive too deep into either of the goalies' personal lives, honestly.
I know, I'm being facetious.
Yeah.
I'm treading on some very...
That's rattlesnakes, you know, in them, their grass, Chris.
Yeah, I know. We don't have an F word this week, so.
No.
Moving on.
It'll probably be coming up soon.
He's the reason the Vancouver Canucks aren't doing so okay, hot. So, the moment he got injured, things fell apart. I think we've agreed on that.
Yeah.
Dakota glue.
Dakota glue. McCabe's knee getting better, turns out, was a bad thing for the Canucks. He played better when it was messed up. So
he probably had, you know, he's readjusting to the balance, right? It's, you hear this where players have significant injuries, sure, and then things get fixed, but they've become so accustomed to playing when it's messed up that they can't readjust when things are right.
Sure, but it's been a while. So let's hope that goal he scored this week is the first of many. The floodgates reopen. Yeah.
Well, but that said, the Vancouver Canucks aren't winning at the same pace they were at the start of the season. They had to slow down. Despite this, and despite some slumps, the Canucks still find themselves atop of the West, atop of the Pacific. They're within reach of the league, but I think it's fair to say that the President's Trophy is likely out of the conversation.
Which we talked about. We don't want it anyway, right?
Yeah, I mean, if anyone out there is listening, like, Chris, the Canucks have 92 points, and the Bruins, who currently sit atop of the league, have 95. Math suggests it's not out of reach. Okay. The thing about this is the Canucks would have to turn it around. The Bruins would have to start sucking, which I'm perfectly fine with. But then you also have to ask that the Jets slow down, the Oilers slow down, so they don't put pressure on the Canucks. And oh, if we look out at the East, the Rangers and the Panthers also need to equally start falling apart. I don't think all of those things are going to happen. So focusing on what's happening out West, and more specifically within the division, you wrote this in the rundown, and I think it's a very cognizant question. Is it important that the Vancouver Canucks win the Pacific?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to say, right? Because if we're watching the standings, did Vegas jump up, or Canucks are still playing Vegas if the season finished today?
Let's see here.
No, Vancouver, they are still playing. So Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas.
Yeah. Still Vegas. I don't want that. Don't know about you, but I don't want it. I would like for the Canucks to, I feel like if I had to pick an opponent for them out of probable playoff contenders, I would pick Nashville. I don't know about you.
Well, okay. So.
And that's not a slight to Nashville. It's like.
No, no.
This is picking out the eight best teams.
Yeah, when we talked about the arms race happening in the West, I think it was very clear that the Vegas Golden Knights, they done loaded up.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to mess around with a team that done loaded up like that. But what are your thoughts on the Los Angeles Kings?
I mean, we've kind of talked about this, that like the Kings, like, do they have it yet? I don't think so, but they play disciplined hockey, and that seems to catch the Canucks out. And that, like, they're patient, they wait for their moments because they don't have the talent to be playing fast and loose hockey at all. So, like, do I worry about and I choose these worst carefully a team like that? Yeah.
Well, and I'm not suggesting I would prefer the Kings. Like, I'm not saying, oh, here's the team I want to play. But why I bring up the Kings is that I think there is a chance that the Golden Knights steal that third spot from the Kings in the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
And if that were to occur, and the Vancouver Canucks, let's say, stay at top of the division, top of the conference, then ultimately the Kings would be who Vancouver takes on. A couple of notes just on sort of where records currently stand. The Nashville Predators and the Los Angeles Kings currently have poor records at home, but their record away, pretty darn sound. And I think that that reinforces disciplined hockey, because teams that are disciplined tend to play a much more conservative type of game on the road. And if the Vancouver Canucks have home ice advantage,
I mean, yeah, 4 out of 7.
That the Canucks maybe run into us,
but
you know,
struggle
against those teams. I'm kind of wondering if then instead, are the Golden Knights that bad? Again, pre-deadline Vegas had a winning record at home and a 500 record away.
And two things I would say is, one, we don't want to be running every series to seven games if you can help it. If you want a long cup run, you ideally don't want to go seven games in your first round if you can help it at all. And two, let's not forget, this is not the Vegas we will be playing, because the Vegas we will be playing will have Thomas Hurdle and will have Mark Stone and his sewn together spleen, at the very least. And Romulana, maybe? But, the Vegas of the regular season is a mirage.
Casino. But, the likelihood of Nashville falling is slim. I mean, they're playing some pretty solid hockey in their last 10 undefeated. Eight wins to, let me rephrase that. Points in their last 10.
Yes. Because they're undefeated through 60.
Lost two in overtime.
Yeah.
But the, Canucks, could they fall behind Edmonton? That, is a possibility. Could they fall behind the Jets? Also a possibility. Those are factors that do sort of come into the mix. And, when I look at where the standings, present themselves, the Vancouver Canucks then would be playing, if they fall into that third spot, and that would happen if,
I don't think that's going to happen.
But that's the thing, is the Vancouver Canucks have a 1-point lead right now on the Jets, the Avs, and the Stars for the West, right? And so the Jets have a game in hand, and then the Canucks have a game in hand on the Stars. They're even with the Avs. The Oilers, they're the team holding three games in hand with 84 still. They can't catch up to Vancouver if they win those three games. But that also means that the Vancouver Canucks, if they're losing that many for the Oilers to start playing catch up, they're likely falling down behind the Jets, the Avs, the Stars. Mm-hmm. If in the sense that were to occur, the Canucks could very well fall from one and find themselves, to two or potentially, three or four if the Oilers were to jump. So,
It's
hard to sort of prognosticate who they'll play because there's so
I guess
much,
this is why I'm asking is
at
more
the top of the conference.
It's less about Canucks. I mean, what they have to do is win as much as they can. And that gives you the best chance to have the quote unquote weakest opponent. What it, I think, really does is it's more the home ice advantage, especially going in.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it, but Stanley Cup final. That's important. That's what you have to do. But if I had to pick out a playoff opponent out of the eight teams currently in a playoff spot, even though they the streak you were talking about, valid, and I think the Oilers are playing maybe the worst hockey out of the eight currently, if we're talking about very recent form. But I think in terms of the style, I think I'd still pick Nashville, but I probably, in terms of best box office, how fun would Oilers Canucks be? But maybe that'll be a different game later on.
With the eight teams in the West that currently hold playoff spots, which team has the worst record in the last 10? You can guess. I've got it up.
The Canucks?
No. The Golden Knights. But the next worst team.
Oh, yeah. I just opened
that
it.
That actually happens to be the Kings.
Yeah.
Then the Canucks. So,
But like we but said, this is not Vegas. And I'm not saying Mark Stone and Thomas Hurdle would be on the end all. Do not envy Thomas Hurdle not playing for your team until the playoffs or maybe the last week of the season. Maybe. But
and the other asterisk that I place there is that the Vancouver Canucks, for all intents and purposes, found ways to lose two games they should have won. Mm-hmm. If you were to go and give them those 3 points that they passed up,
that's so
that
nice.
Gets them to 95, Avs down to 90. Those you know, put the Vancouver Canucks into a record that's akin to the Avs, sort of where they're at right now. Like, it, you know, all things considered, the Vancouver Canucks aren't in a bad way. It's just unfortunate that they're finding ways to slump now.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of time to fix it. What's going to help? But there must. The three teams rolling into town this week.
One would hope.
Yeah. Oh, but hey, we'll be back again next week to see whether or not our optimism should be rewarded. Last time I was pessimistic, you were pessimistic, we were punished. I'm really hoping that that's not what the team does. Yeah, we'll see in the future as to whether or not Mama Forsyth got herself a W and whether or not the Vancouver Canucks followed up two more.
Mm-hmm.
Anna, we are at the end of an episode that we would normally clock in at about an hour. So we've got a moment or two. You got any, you know, sage advice, words of wisdom, posers or anything for our listeners this week?
Well, I want to say a couple of things, actually. First of all, it's going to be a day late by the time you publish this, but happy St. Patrick's to all of those who celebrate. The Ireland rugby team won the Six Nations Championship this weekend, so that was very exciting for me and my family. The Abbey Canucks celebrated on St. Patrick's by winning 8-3 with a franchise record number of power play goals. So that's exciting for them. They did have their, like, dog game on Saturday. So I would encourage listeners to check out the Abbotsford Canucks feed for today for the hockey and yesterday for the cute dogs. Because they were adorable, and there's lots of adoptable dogs, especially so if you live in the Fraser Valley region looking for a dog, there's some adorable dogs available for adoption. Yeah.
Oh, well, I'd love to get another one, but I can barely keep up with the one we've got.
Yeah, and I'm got sure a the bit
cat
of a...
would probably move out if we put on another
dog. She would pack a little cat suitcase and move out.
She would. Well, I mean, we came home today and she's trying to escape. I think she's decided, like, you know, I'd like to go somewhere else now to a family who loves me more than you do.
Wow.
But then she gets out onto the front step and realizes the world is a scary place, yeah, and comes running back in to save
they don't
her
have
escape to a
kitty treats
another day
in the outside world.
Well, I mean, one of the nice families that she thinks exists, they might, right? You know, final words from me. I actually just want to reiterate, you know, how cool it is to eventually find those that support the show. I think, was it last week or maybe the week before, I'd said, hey, I had stumbled across a review that someone had left like 9 months ago about the show and how we're even killed. We don't shoutcast. We're a pretty solid show. I found some other feedback from just over a year ago about how, while we don't do anything that's too different from other podcasts, they always appreciate how we don't take ourselves too seriously and also occasionally go off the rails and just have fun. And I thought that's kind of cool.
That sums us up pretty well, don't you think? Yeah.
It totally does. I mean, if we took ourselves seriously, this podcast would have ended like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Six, maybe.
Yeah. And like, while we admire our colleagues, co-workers, whatever you want to put as the cohort of Canucks podcasters who like do five shows a week or are like trying their damnedest to like get into that serious journalistic space that isn't us whatsoever. So we just like talking.
How serious of a show we are? Our intro still says that Adam and Matt are on it.
Yeah. So. And by the way, I have written a new intro. We just have not recorded it.
Well, okay. It's a combination of one, needing to go and actually put it together.
Yeah. Like, don't and then two, get me wrong. It's both of us being disorganized. I'm not calling you out. Yeah, you know,
getting like the voiceover work or whatever. I was thinking about it actually today and, you know, maybe that's something we tackle. Or better yet, maybe I pay someone to do it. Well, wait, that costs a lot of money and people should be paid what they're worth, but I can't afford what they're worth. So,
speaking of money.
Is it time to talk to our listeners as to whether or not they can support the show? Like, I mean, it feels like we're begging at this point. But if you want to support.c4podcast.com, which will forward you off to buy me a coffee, or as Anna and I like to call it,
buy me a pint.
And you can support us by throwing some money our way, and either as a one-off, a pint or two, to a monthly or annual subscription. And that goes towards just the costs that we incur to record the show, host it, what have you. We haven't got to that point where we actually have pints to spare, but, you know,
yeah, if I was someone were
to say, I would like you to buy a pint,
literally,
I would spend it on a pint as opposed to hosting.
Yeah, I was drinking a Guinness
and send a picture
during this record, which I don't normally do necessarily, but it's St. Patrick's, and they would literally take away my Irish passport if I did not. But
I've
had
heard
to,
those rumors.
Yeah, I had to buy it myself, so it would be nice if someone bought that Guinness for me next time.
Man, we're begging. We truly are.
Yeah, we don't care. We have no shame. I don't anyway.
I thought I had a little shame.
I don't know where I left my shame.
The things we do. Yeah, the things we do. Anyhow, it has been a week. If you wanted to take part in the conversation with us, though, and tell us about your week or whether or not we have any shame or lack thereof, you can join our Discord at C4 Discord, which is discord.io/C4podcast. You can shoot us a note on social media. We're at the C4 Podcast on most social media platforms, except for Threads. We're at the real C4 Podcast. And if you wanted to just shout out to Anna or I, she is a Forsyth and I am a Light Force. But on behalf of Anna, myself, Chris, and, us, because that's all that's left on this podcast, despite the intro telling you otherwise, we out.